Every piece of confetti tells a story. Jim Harbaugh. So I'm a born and raised Wolverine. Both my parents went to Michigan. I grew up in Ann Arbor. I've watched us lose to Ohio State more times than I can count. So Monday night, watching that maize and blue confetti drop was an incredible moment. It's a moment I will not forget. But did that moment, as great as it was, did that moment change me? Am I different because of a football game? Even for the men actually playing on that field, and I'm sure that night is one those boys in maize and blue will never forget. They will tell the stories of that season, the victories, the controversies, the challenges, the adversity they overcame. They'll tell those stories until they're old and bald and fat. But did it change them? Are they different because of a football game? I'll let one of them speak for himself. I'm sure you've heard of Blake Corum. He's only broken every rushing record there is. But he said this in an interview. He said, "I am a firm believer in Christ. Acts 20:35 says, 'In all things I have shown you about working hard. In this way we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That is why I'm here. I am more than an athlete.'" See, I think that's a man who's already been changed. See, there's a difference between remembering a moment and having a moment change you. Between having a story to tell and having a conversion. Between having a memory and having a moment alter and even change entirely the rest of your life. Where I think we're drawn to moments like this past Monday night because we hope to experience something great, to be connected in some way to greatness, to be part of some great story. It's that fundamental question that our Lord asks in the gospel today. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Not in some theoretical way, but like actually, in your real life right now, what are you looking for? What do you seek? What do you spend your time actually trying to attain? Maybe football isn't your thing. Maybe you're after that 12-point buck, or that zero handicap, or that next promotion. But in all those things, we're hoping for a moment, an experience, something that will change us, that will define us, that we can point at and say, look, there, that thing happened. That is who I am. We are looking for something. But when all those things fall short, then what? When each of those things comes up empty, what's left? What about encountering the living God? What about coming to know the King of Kings? We hear about a few of those kind of encounters, those kind of moments in our readings today. And first we hear from Samuel, and then we hear about Andrew. And you just heard them a minute ago, so I'm not going to recount them all again, but I want to highlight a few moments, a few commonalities between the two experiences that I think can be good lessons for us. First, they were in the right place. Samuel was literally sleeping next to the Ark of the Covenant, the holiest place. God was present in a special way to his people in the ark. And Samuel knew, all right, I'm going to put myself right there. And Andrew, he had heard John the Baptist preach, and he recognized, this is someone who is going to lead me to the Messiah. This is someone who's going to get me where I desire to be. And so he stayed by John's side. He followed after him until John pointed and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Second, they didn't hesitate. Samuel didn't just say, "Well, I probably had some bad lamb for dinner," and then go back to sleep. No, he got up, he ran to Eli. He sought counsel, and then he responded, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And Andrew, he didn't just say, "Huh, the Lamb of God, that's a cool nickname. So, John, we're having some more locusts for dinner tonight, right?" He immediately went and followed after our Lord. "Lord, where are you staying? I want to be where you are." And third, they let the encounter change the rest of their lives. Their lives after the encounter didn't look anything like their lives before. Samuel would go on to be one of the greatest prophets in Israel. He would anoint David as king over Israel. And Andrew immediately went after Christ. And then went and got his brother Simon Peter, you know, the first pope, went and got him, brought him along. And for Simon and Andrew, this wasn't just the adventure of an afternoon. They weren't just fair-weather disciples. They went to the ends of the earth proclaiming that Jesus, the Lamb of God, had been crucified and raised from the dead. I was on a retreat during the summer before my senior year of high school. And I'd been starting to grow in my faith in high school, but it was mostly just about following the rules, being a good kid. But then I was on this retreat, and they gave us a time to pray in silence. And as I was sitting there in the silence, not really sure what I should be praying about, I just felt prompted to open up my Bible. So I picked up my Bible and opened it up. And it opened up to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I had one verse underlined, verse 24, which says, "In the race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize. Run so as to win." And I knew this verse even back then. As I mentioned before, I was a runner in high school, and so I took it very seriously, and this was like my verse. But this time that I read it, it was different. This time that I read it, I heard the Lord speaking to me in the silence of my heart, "Joshua, the only way to run so as to win is to run as I'm calling you to run. And you've been taking your competitiveness that you have in sports and in school, and you've been trying to be the best Christian. I don't want you to be the best Christian. I just want you to be mine. I just want you to be mine." And I was absolutely rocked. God wanted me to be his. It wasn't just about following the rules or being a good kid. It was about being in a relationship with the living God, that he had a plan and a calling for my life. And it was this encounter that really opened up my heart to discern seminary and the priesthood. And also is the encounter that gave me the trust and the faith to actually take those steps and trust him in each step of the way. Our Lord desires to encounter us, to invite us into a relationship with him. It is this relationship. It is him who changes us. And it's unique. It's personal. Just like with Samuel and Andrew. And there's these moments of encounter. These moments we find that what we were really looking for, what we've really been seeking all along, is him. A relationship with the living God, with Jesus Christ. So what does this mean for us? Well, I think it's worth asking a few questions. Do I put myself in a place to encounter the Lord? Do I put myself in a place of prayer and of silence? We live in a noisy world, but do I carve out that time to encounter the Lord? Either at the beginning of my day, the end of my day, maybe just while I'm driving to work, in silence to encounter the Lord. Because the Lord desires to encounter us. And lots of people can pray for you, but no one can pray instead of you. And when the Lord is prompting, do I respond? And if I'm unsure, do I at least seek counsel? Do I have people around me like John who can point the way to the Lord? Who can point out, there he is, go that way? Or do I look for spiritual advice from people more like Eli, who are slow to give the right directions, if they give them at all? And finally, do I let these encounters change me? Am I willing to take a risk? Am I willing to have my whole life altered by the Lord? And it's in responding to that relationship, that we come to find who we're truly meant to be, that we'll find ourselves caught up in the greatest adventure. Andrew never forgot that first encounter with the Lord. He never forgot that moment. We actually get a hint in the text. You might have missed it, but he notes the very specific detail. He says, it was about 4 in the afternoon. He remembers the very hour, the very moment that he first met Jesus. And he didn't just not forget it. He let it change him. He let that moment of 4 o'clock, there was everything that came before 4 o'clock that afternoon, and then there was everything that came after, because that moment, that moment when he met him. Even years later, recounting it to John, he could look back and say, it was 4 o'clock. That was when I met him. That's when it all changed. That's when it went from being a story about me to being a story about him. Because that's the switch that happens in the life of every disciple, in the life of every saint. It goes from being a story about me to being a story about him. Pieces of confetti may or may not tell a story. I'm actually really not sure what Jim Harbaugh meant when he said that, to be honest. But I do know this. Every yes to the Lord tells a story. And I pray and hope that we get to heaven someday. We'll be joining in the celebration with all the saints. That'll be way better than any party that happened in Ann Arbor this past Monday. There'll probably be less couches harmed as well. And we'll hear the praises of God, and we'll hear the stories. We'll hear the stories of how God was working in the lives of all the saints. And we'll get to hear even those moments, those encounters that didn't make the news, that were hidden from the history books. And we'll hear about, and maybe even especially hear about, those heroic saints whose lives no one noticed but God. Because every life lived for God tells a story. Every yes to the Lord tells a story. How you respond to the Lord, that will be a story. And it'll be a story worth telling. And I can't wait to hear it.